What I'd like to do briefly is talk about two projects I'm working on in the state of California and then spend the last 3 minutes talking about the future of democracy in the context of internet voting. The first is the California Internet Voting Initiative, which I've written and which is now being processed in Sacramento. This is an initiative that I'm hoping to put on the ballot in March or November of 2000. It has five provisions. The first legalizes internet voting. The second sets very strict standards in terms of auditability, access, ease of use, security, integrity, and so on, about 15 different items, all of which need to be satisfied before any system can be used for internet voting in California. Thirdly, it says that all the auditors in the state, once a system has been certified to meet these standards, can use it for internet voting in their jurisdictions. It has a provision to punish people who violate, fraudulently use, or otherwise try to mess with the system, including jail time and, if possible, exile from the net for up to 3 years. Finally, there's a provision in the California Internet Voting Initiative that would require the Department of Motor Vehicles of California to begin issuing smart cards as the substrate of driver's licenses and state identification cards that would be smart cards that would have preloaded digital certificates on them that would uniquely identify every person who had one of these cards and would therefore make it possible to use these cards to unambiguously identify people. The problem that Vern mentioned about making sure that the right person is doing the voting is solved by digital certificates on smart cards, and a major provision of the California Internet Voting Initiative is that the DMV will be issuing these to all new users and retroactively until everyone has one. The second, in order to get this ballot measure on the ballot, it's going to be necessary to collect in California 433,000 or so signatures. This is something that now is conventionally understood to cost at least $1 million, and people who don't have that money can't put initiatives on the ballot in California. I'm hoping to do it, but I don't have $1 million. The plan I'm hoping to use is to put it on the internet and to use digital certificates and digital signatures to have it signed. Now, you may ask, one of the provisions of this bill, which allows internet voting, internet registration, and internet initiative signing, it will not have been passed by the time I'm collecting the signatures. Therefore, how are they valid? Well, California has digital signature law and regulations now. So do many other states. I understand Washington has one of the best and most developed of these of all the states. What I'm hoping to do is make the argument either to the registrar of voters / auditors or, if necessary, in court that these regulations, which allow for government-citizen transactions secured by internet digital signatures, empowers people to sign initiative petitions online digitally with these certificates. We'll see what happens. An important part of that is deciding what the policy will be that will determine what items of identification and what procedure for identification are required for people to qualify for one of the digital certificates that we want to have them use to sign the initiative petition. That's where any input from any of you would be greatly appreciated. The email is really short, info@vpac.org. You can reach me there. I'm going to be working in California, and I'd like to have any of your input about what driver's license already, a birth certificate, what level of security do you think is necessary to qualify someone for one of those. All right. Well, in the 2 minutes I have left, I'd like to talk about the future of internet voting and what it means. There are two systems which I think could be implemented immediately. One is called COIN, C-O-I-N, Candidates Online Interactive Network. This essentially hooks up the FEC and contributors so that they sign their contributions. And the FEC maintains a database of all the contributions to all the federal candidates. And it's updated. And before a person can make a contribution, they need to be vetted. The contribution needs to be vetted. And the FEC would know who's making it, how much, and so on, whether it falls under whatever limits the government has set. A second system that I think could be built right now is called the Incumbents Virtual Voting Booth. This would allow a congressperson or a state senator, a person at any elected level, a county commissioner, to post questions on the internet and then allowing only constituents of that jurisdiction to access it through their smart card and digital certificate, vote on the question of the day, should we do this, should we do that. The elected official would be free to follow the recommendations of a majority of his or her constituents, or be free not to. The constituents, of course, would be free to elect or not re-elect the person at the end of the term. In the future, the internet is going to be everywhere, and it's going to be invisible. it's going to be as invisible as the phone network is. People will be able to access it through a broadband or wireless, through a voice-activated, a voice-understanding system. And so within that context, I believe it's almost a foregone conclusion that Internet voting, after it starts in various progressive places, will spread to more and more jurisdictions, sort of up the ladder and down the ladder, so that it will be used at all levels of government. I also think it will spread to more countries, including especially, obviously, at first, the more technologically developed countries. But eventually, I think it will also spread to those parts of the world that aren't as developed technologically. And I'm even hopeful that because building an infrastructure for digital voting requires the provision of services and education and technology that can also be used for buying books or listening to music or getting elementary to postgraduate education, that internet voting will be a means by which countries that are underdeveloped politically as well as economically can bootstrap themselves up on both sides simultaneously. I'm particularly looking forward to facilitating democracy in China by means of internet voting, because the servers could be in Everett and the voting could be in Beijing, and the results could be publicized by satellite. The last point I'd like to make grew out of a conference I attended last week in Washington, D.C., the Initiative and Referendum Institute conference. And an obvious issue that arose towards the end was, well, should we really let the people decide how they're governed? And most of the people there, of course, were strongly in favor of that. The issue is often raised to me that, well, if you let them sign initiative petitions on the internet, let them vote on the internet, before you know it, they're going to want to make all the decisions. And that might not be such a good idea. And this lawyer who had won a big case about petitioning in Colorado said to me, well, the answer to that is compared to what? I think that we're going to see, just as over the last 4 or 5 years, the technology and the idea of using the internet to vote has gone from far out to obvious, I think that as we begin to use that technology to actually make decisions, elect candidates, pass or reject initiatives, that we'll see that the people could probably decide a lot of things for themselves, and that using an internet voting system is a very cost-effective, efficient, secure, and convenient way to do it. Thank you.